Radio Prague News.
President Miloš Zeman has explained why he refused to name as a professor a leading Czech intellectual. In related news, students have begun organizing protest events. And descendants of shoe magnate Jan Antonín Baťa are demanding that the Czech state return billions of crowns worth of property to them. President Miloš Zeman clarified on Monday the reason he refused to name well-known literary historian Martin C. Putna, a university professor. Mr. Zeman suggested the crux of the problem for him was a placard Mr. Putna carried at Prague's Gay Pride Parade, which read "Catholic Queers Salute Batura." The banner referred to a highly controversial former ministry official who opposed the parade 2 years ago. The president stressed that he respected people's sexual orientation, but suggested that there was a difference between that and carrying a banner like Mr. Putna's. Martin C. Putna is widely recognized as a Catholic intellectual who has focused on the topics of homosexuality and religion. He's also a vocal critic of the president's, having ridiculed him earlier this year in a video when Mr. Zeman was still a candidate ahead of the election. In related news, students at Charles University have begun planning protest events over the president's refusal to approve Mr. Putna as a professor. They also called on some 24 other professorial candidates to be appointed soon to show solidarity and refuse to accept the title. Mr. Zeman has also drawn sharp criticism from the academic community. Descendants of shoe magnate Jan Antonín Baťa are demanding that the Czech state return billions of crowns worth of property to them, Pravo reported on Monday. An associate of the Baťa family told the newspaper that they were willing to take the matter to the international courts. The property was nationalized under post-war presidential decrees on the grounds that Baťa had allegedly collaborated with the Nazis. However, in 2007, a Prague court overturned Jan Antonín Baťa's conviction on collaboration charges. The founder of the International Shoe Company left Czechoslovakia in 1939 and later settled in Brazil. The funeral service for former politician and Prague Spring reformer Walter Komárek, who died last week at the age of 82, will be held at Prague's Strašnice crematorium on Wednesday. Mr. Komárek was the honorary chairman of the Social Democratic Party. His death was rued by many, including President Zeman, who will be among those attending to pay their last respects. The service will be open to the public, CTK reported. In hockey now, Czech hockey player David Krejci has continued in excellent form in the NHL postseason, earning 2 assists in the Bruins' second game against the New York Rangers. Boston won by a score of 5-2 to take a 2-0 lead in their best-of-seven series. In the first round, the Bruins eliminated the Montreal Canadiens. Krejci leads on points in the playoffs with 16, 11 assists and 5 goals so far. In other sport news, top Czech football club Baník Ostrava was saved from bankruptcy on Monday following 2 city council votes. The future of the heavily indebted club hinged on the Ostrava City Council buying its Bazalis Stadium. A first vote went against the proposal and would have meant expulsion from the top division. But in a dramatic turnaround, a second vote was held that went the club's way. Baník Ostrava are the 2004 league champions and have been the home of many talented players, including Milan Baroš, who recently returned. A look at the weather. Cloudy conditions are expected throughout much of the week, although there's a chance of some sunny periods as well as a chance of rain. Daytime temperatures should reach around 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Velinger. That's the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the president's unprecedented refusal to appoint a university professor causes a huge outcry. We'll bring you the latest news from the world of Czech sport, and later we meet a remarkable Brno-born woman who only survived the war because she was baptized a Christian.
Actually, the Nazis, I got chocolates, and actually I sat even on the lap of some Nazis. They, of course, had no idea that my father was Jewish.
All that's coming up in today's program. The Czech president, Miloš Zeman, has caused an outcry by saying he won't confer the title of professor on a Charles University academic. Czech heads of state normally just rubber stamp such decisions. And Mr. Zeman's position on the appointment of Martin C. Putna is wholly unprecedented. The president hasn't been entirely clear on the reasons, but says he objected to a placard the academic carried in a gay pride march. Jan Richter has the details.
Говорит Владимир Владимирович Путин. Дорогие друзья.
In a satirical video released during January's presidential election, Martin C. Putna imitated Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Wearing an ushanka and holding a bottle of liquor in his hand, the Charles University academic advised Czechs to elect Miloš Zeman to make sure Russia's interests in the country were protected. Mr. Zeman has denied that Mr. Putna's support for his rival in the presidential vote is behind his reluctance to appoint him professor. After initially refusing to reveal his motivation, the president told reporters on Monday that he thought Mr. Putna's involvement in a 2011 gay pride parade was unfitting for an academic. The head of state said he respected Mr. Putna's sexual orientation, but it's something entirely different when you walk around Prague with a sign that says Catholic Queers Salute Bátora, he told reporters. Ladislav Bátora is an ultra-conservative former public official who then served as advisor to the education minister. Mr. Putna is a leading Czech literary historian and an expert on Catholic literature. He has authored some highly acclaimed works, including a spiritual biography of Václav Havel and a study on homosexuality in the history of Czech culture. Under Czech law, professors are formally appointed by the president. However, previous post-communist heads of state, Václav Havel and Václav Klaus, never refused to respect the choice of the university officials who are in charge of the appointment process. Jiří Zlatuška is deputy chair of the Czech Republic's Council of Higher Education Institutions and a former rector of Brno's Masaryk University.
Such a step, if taken by the president, as informally announced by the president to the Minister of Education, there will be absolutely unprecedented intervention of politics into academic sphere. That's A. And B, it will be against the law, it will be against the legal obligation which the president should have to fulfill.
The president's move has caused uproar in the academic community and among some politicians. Some said he was behaving like communist president Klement Gottwald. Others believe that Mr. Zeman is testing how far he can go in extending his powers. Charles University students, meanwhile, have started organizing rallies in support of Mr. Putna. They also called on some 24 other professorial candidates due to be appointed next month to show solidarity with the academic and refuse to accept the title from Mr. Zeman. Mr. Zlatuška supports the idea.
In my understanding, everybody within academic community is Mr. Putna in this situation, because this is really protecting the academic community, not doing something on behalf of one individual. Of course, I pity everybody who would be in June at the ceremony of awarding professors if Mr. Putna is not there. Because those decrees signed by the president would have the factual or symbolic value of trash.
Mr. Putna himself says he will leave the issue to Charles University officials. The university's rector, Václav Hampel, has demanded an explanation from the president and is set to meet Mr. Zeman later this week.
Thanks for that report, Jan Richter. And if you've any thoughts on that subject or any other Czech matters, do get in touch with us here at Radio Prague. You can contact us via letter, via email, by Facebook or on Twitter. Now it's Monday and we're halfway through the programme, so that means it's time for all the latest news from the world of Czech sport. We begin today with athletics, and the Czech Republic's Zuzana Hejnová topped the podium in the 400 metres hurdles at the second Diamond League meeting of the year in Shanghai on Saturday. The 26-year-old Olympic bronze medal holder completed the race in 53.79 seconds, the fastest time seen in the discipline so far this season. On the phone from China, Hejnová was asked whether she felt she could sustain her current fine form until the World Championships in Moscow in August.
I think it's quite soon to talk about it. The World Championships in Moscow are some way off, and I have a lot of races between now and then. But I believe I will reach my best form in Moscow, and that I'll push my times down this year, perhaps to below 53 seconds.
Athlete Zuzana Hejnová. Moving on to soccer, and there were no games in the Czech First Division at the weekend because of the culmination of the Ice Hockey World Championship. However, there has been one big story with the news on Monday that Baník Ostrava have been saved from bankruptcy. The only hope of survival for the heavily indebted club was if the Ostrava City Council bought its Bazalí Stadium. A first vote went against the proposal, leading to news flashes that Baník was going bust, which would have also meant expulsion from the top flight. But in a dramatic twist, a second vote was held that went the club's way, saving the 2004 league champions from doom. Elsewhere, English Premier League clubs Tottenham Hotspur and Arsenal are reported to be interested in snapping up the Czech striker Matěj Vidra. The 21-year-old, who's contracted to Italy's Udinese, has scored 20 goals this season while on loan at the Championship side Watford. Ahead of Wednesday's playoff final, in which Watford face Crystal Palace for a place in the top flight next season, Vidra's agent says all possibilities are being considered. Tennis now, and Czech men's number one Tomáš Berdych overcame one bogeyman at the Italian Open but couldn't get past another. Berdych battled from behind to beat Serbia's Novak Djokovic in the fourth round on Rome's clay courts, but he couldn't repeat the feat when he came up against Rafael Nadal in the semi-finals. The 27-year-old had only beaten the Spaniard three times in 16 meetings and never on clay, and didn't improve his balance with a 4-6, 2-6 defeat on Saturday evening. Berdych remained sixth in the world rankings going into the French Open. Meanwhile, his compatriot Petra Kvitova has climbed to seventh in the women's rankings. And that's all the sport for today. A small percentage of the millions of visitors who come to Prague every year are people who were actually born in this part of the world, but later settled elsewhere for various reasons. One such person is Gisela Scheffer, and she's my guest in this week's edition of One on One. Gisela Scheffer was born Gisela Duszynski in Brno in 1932. Her Viennese father was Jewish, making her a target for the Nazis, and her baptism as a Roman Catholic very likely saved her life. She later came close to being forced to leave during the mass expulsion of Czechoslovakia's German population after the war. But she stayed until, that is, a meeting with a Finn led to a life abroad. Today, Gisela Scheffer, who soon turns 81, lives in Venezuela with her American husband. I met her through a mutual acquaintance when she was in Prague recently on holiday.
I am born in Brno. My mother was a big Czech person, even she was from Italian-Austrian parents, but she studied in the Masaryk University in Brno and became doctor for philosophy, art and history and did everything for the Czech people. She was never Austrian or Italian. She was only Czech, and that's how I was brought up.
And your father was a Viennese German-speaking Jew?
Yes. No, he also spoke Czech also.
Was that quite common in those days to have those kind of mixed families, bilingual families?
No, it wasn't. I was really suffering in a school of my name because Gisela is not a Czech name. Everybody's Růžena, Božena or Anička. And they were laughing. They always said, Gisela je Kisela. That was my name.
Which means sour.
Yes.
Were your family part of the Jewish community in Brno?
No, No, we were not, because the mother of my father, they were living in Litoměřice, and we went there just visit, and that was all.
You were born in 1932.
Yes.
So 7 years before the beginning of the war. Your parents must have been hugely worried as war approached. Were you aware of that as a kid?
No, only that my father wanted to leave Czechoslovakia to England, and my mother didn't want to go because she loved this country.
So what happened? Did your father go and did your mom stay? Or?
Yes, my mother divorced him. And after for a while, she married a man called Dr. Josef Burjánek. And he was very much active also in the Czech theater, and had to do, I think, in Brno, in museum.
Tell us about your own war experiences. Is it the case that you survived the war because you were baptized Christian?
I survived it only because when my mother died and my father was gone, start to prosecute the Jews. And my grandmother was afraid, as they called it, Mischling, when you were like half Jewish. Even the Jewish people don't recognize when the father is Jewish, you are supposed to be only Jewish when the mother is. My grandmother sent me a little village called Němčice first, and there they baptized me. And there was my godmother, and every time I came to Czechoslovakia, I used to visit my godmother there.
And you spent the war years living in a convent?
Yes, in a convent called Boskovice. The convent belonged to a count called von Mensdorf, and the nuns, they were actually contributing. They had a little farm there, and that's how they were living. And the von Mensdorf was coming every day to the chapel. We had a little chapel. And because I spoke German fluently, or thanks to my grandmother, I used to go play with the von Mensdorf children because they spoke German.
I understand also that you had some visitors at the convent. The Gestapo would
Yes,
come.
The Gestapo. Actually, we had to move from our bedrooms because we were about 150 children, and they shoveled us to all together to two bedrooms, and the Nazis, they stayed a while there.
And how was it sharing quarters with Nazis?
No, because I spoke German. Actually, the Nazis, I got chocolates, and actually I sat even on the lap of some Nazis. They, of course, had no idea that my father was Jewish because I was blonde with blue eyes. So,
were you afraid, or
No, I wasn't, because I felt very safe there.
Brno was bombed during the war, I think towards the end of the war. Do you have memories of the bombing?
Yes, because my grandmother was not afraid of bombing. Everybody was down in a basement after they heard the sirens. But she, because there was called Hotel Passage in Brno, where she was manager, she went in the last floor and looked actually what's going on. And she saw the smoke coming, of course, from the bombs. And then after everything was quiet, we went to see if any of our friends got bombed. And I remember seeing half of the building, just half of the toilet or so. And also bomb which didn't explode. It was a big hole there, an unexploded bomb.
What are your recollections of the end of the war? In May 45?
Yes, that was very scary because we were 2 weeks in basement. We had, of course, everything there. We had mattresses and plenty of food. But every time when some bombs exploded, it got light was out. And, of course, as children, we were very afraid.
I guess also when the Russians came, your grandmother must have been concerned for you because you must have been a pretty young girl at that time.
Yes, because we had the bad Russians. We had those Tatars, or I don't know how you call them. And they were raping girls. So every time she told me, when you go out, make sure you put a scarf on your head so they don't see that you are blonde. And everybody was afraid of raping.
Your parents didn't survive the war.
No, my mother died in 1942 on lung tuberculosis, and my father got lost in war. He was flying for the RAF, for the British Air Force, and I was, actually not me, but my grandmother was investigating, and they say he just got lost in war somewhere.
Had you been able to communicate with your dad during the war?
No, only I remember when I was 6 years old, he came to say goodbye and brought me a doll. And it's just like I remember it like today. That was all.
After the war, what became of you, or where did you go? What did you do?
After the war, it was bad because my grandmother, for some reason, got German citizenship. Probably she was afraid not to get deported or something. And when end of the war, they announced all the German citizens have to come in kind of office in town. And there was a big line, kilometers of line with suitcases. And she had to go also, of course, I with her. And when before we went, about 20 Czech citizens where she worked came and vouched for her that she always did very good for the Czech people. She was a good person. So they let her stay.
Otherwise, she would have been one of those 2 or 3 million who were expelled from
yes.
the country.
Yes.
And then you moved with her to Prague, is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Where you worked as a governess with
yes.
at various embassies, Western embassies.
Yeah, first I worked in that was my first job with a fabulous family. He was a military attaché. Jim Simon was his name. I worked with two children. And I got known a little bit the English culture.
But eventually you left Prague after meeting a Finn.
Yes, I met a Finn. And the third day after I met him, he proposed the marriage to me. And that time it was very difficult during communism to get out of the country. But because he was representative of Centrotex. And in that era, if Finland wanted to buy something from Czechoslovakia, they had to send something to Czechoslovakia. Finland was overproducing butter, cheese, and so we were sending from Finland butter, cheese to Czech Republic and also paper. Finland is producing paper. And we were buying textile to Finland. And he had quite a high name because that time there were not many foreigners making business. So it took me 9 months to get the permission to leave the country.
What's fascinating to me is that you left the country, you had a son with this Finnish guy, and your son came back to Prague to study dance as a teenager.
Yes, he came, he was 12 years old. He was actually dancing from age of 6. And I brought him up in a Czech spirit, even he was Finnish. Finnish language is very difficult, even I learned it. But I sent him to German school, so he has one international language. And from 9 months old, I was coming every year or every 2 years to Czechoslovakia. When he was 5 years old, I sent him to a family in Brno, which I knew actually when I got baptized. So that was family from the godmother. And he stayed whole summer when he was 5 with this Czech family.
You used to visit him when he was here studying, and he stayed here all this time.
Yes, he stayed. He graduated from the dance academy. The professors absolutely loved him because he was brought up as a Czech, and nobody understood when he was speaking about Finland. How do you know so much about Finland? And he speaks Czech completely without any accent, completely like a Czech person.
You lived in Finland, you lived in the States, you now live in Venezuela.
Yes.
And you have remained in touch with Czech culture partly through the women's magazine Květy.
Květy, yes. Květy, because when my son was small, I put an ad in a Květy magazine to find a Czech friend which could visit us in Finland, and then my son could come visit him. And it happened. We found a boy who came to Finland and stayed with us about a month. And then my son came here and visited him. And from the time I am receiving Quieti magazine, wherever in the world I am, my son pays for it for a whole year, and it comes punctually even to Venezuela.
50 years you're reading this Czech magazine?
Yes.
Incredible. Now you come back here, you were telling me, every couple of years. How do you find being here?
I find it that Czechoslovakia lost a little bit identity, because I was looking for a Czech doll. I mean, like from in a Czech national costume. There is one from Kyiv, because I had a costume like that when I was a child. And so I went to a store, and she's trying to sell me a Polish one. I said, no, no, no. I am Czech, and I know how my costume look. So I say, thank you. So I found another store, and they were trying to sell me Hungarian one. I say, no, no. At last, where Jan Hus statue is, on the left side is a store, and there at last I found a store with Czech dolls, which I brought one for me, and we have in Venezuela many Lebanese friends, and I brought for their daughter also another Czech doll.
So you've introduced them to the Czech kroj.
Yeah, Czech kroj, yes.
I was speaking to Gisela Scheffer, who is now back in Venezuela with her husband, Bob. If you've got any comments about today's show, do get in touch. You can contact us by email. That's at english@radio.cz, or by letter to Vinohradská 12, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. And we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.